Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints. God bless you on this precious Lord's Day. And we welcome you, those of you tuning in from here, the United States, and for those of you who are tuning in from overseas, from Canada and Norway and Germany and England and Zambia and the Barbados, we welcome you. We welcome you in the precious name of the Lord. This, of course, is the Reformation News broadcast, and all we do is talk about Reformation. We talk about reforming the church, and we're protesters, and we are loudmouth protesters, and we make no apologies about it. Why? Because we love the Lord. We love the Lord. And, you know, the Lord said, if you love me, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Now, based on the English word feed, you would just think that that means to give little lambs their milk and to give the sheep, the mature saints, to give them their grass. You know, their hay, their vitamins, their salt blocks, their mineral blocks. And those of you who take care of sheep, like I have, on many of the farms that I owned, depending upon where you live, the grass and the hay does not carry, you know, if you live in the northeast of the United States, where you get the four seasons, it's not like if you lived in Texas or in Florida, where, I mean, you have the sun on top of you all year round. Well, in the northeast or the northern, northwest part of the country, where we get four seasons and, you know, only during the summertime do we get a lot of sunlight. Well, in those regions where there isn't enough sunlight, the vegetation, the grass, and then the hay doesn't develop certain minerals. So you have to supplement the minerals for your mature sheep, and that's when you get mineral blocks, salt blocks. And that'll compensate for what is not in the hay and in the grass. So listen, if you just think that when Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep, is to just feed them, you know, it's feeding hour and you just feed them. That's not what the word feed means. It's a Greek word that is really all-encompassing when it comes to shepherding. So the word feed my lambs and feed my sheep also means to guide them, to lead them, to watch over them, to heal them if they're sick, and to mend their broken bones. It means to protect them from predators. The word poimiano, it's an all-inclusive word that means do all-around shepherding. Peter, if you love me, do all-around shepherding to my little lambs and do all-around shepherding to my sheep. In other words, give them the full package. Give my lambs, give my sheep the royal treatment. Do everything for them that a shepherd ought to do. And, you know, feeding is just one of the things. You also have to clip the sheep's toenails. They get these ingrown toenails that hobble them. So, you know, listen, you have to watch out for diarrhea, parasites. You have to deworm these sheep. You have to shear them. You have to remove the parasites from their wool. Listen, there's a lot involved in taking care of sheep. So that's the word that Jesus used. He says, give them the royal treatment, give them the all-around ministry. And, you know, if we're just feeding you, that's not enough. On this broadcast, we are protesters. We are reformers. We protect you against the wolves. And we do that, as the hymn said, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And if we love you, in reply, you said to us, take care of your lambs, take care of your sheep, give them the royal treatment. And that's what this program intends to do. Every time we come on the air, we intend to protect you, to cry aloud, as Isaiah said, and spare not, show Israel his or her sin. Show the nation, show the church her sin. And so we're protesters, we're loud mouths, and we get into trouble, but that's okay. We take it for Christ's sake. We get blacklisted. I've been blacklisted. My former friends don't want to talk to me anymore. They call me a hater. I'm not a hater. I love them. I love their souls. I hate their deeds. And I hate their doctrines. Just like Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, I hate the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans is that group of people in the church who take over, hijack a church, and they subjugate the members. That's what Nicolaitan means. The Nicolaitans. The elite in the church. He says, I hate their doctrine. And he says, I hate their deeds. I hate the fact that they subjugate my people. Jesus didn't hate them. He loved the sinner, but he hated the sin. He hated the teaching. And, yeah, I'm a hater. Yeah, I am, but I don't hate them. I just hate the abuses and the malpractices that they perpetrate. They're perpetrators of crimes, of abuses. Church leadership today has become a criminal enterprise. A criminal enterprise. Well, listen, we have a few announcements to make this morning before we actually get into the broadcast. My first announcement is that if you don't know of this radio program, it's called Prophetic News. And our dear sister and colleague, Sister Susan Puzio, it is her broadcast. She's on Blog Talk Radio like we're on Blog Talk Radio. Her program is called Prophetic News, and I listen to it religiously every Saturday. I love to listen to my sister on Prophetic News. Well, yesterday, she had a fantastic program. Now, that's not to say that every week isn't fantastic, but, you know, there are some programs that just get your attention. And this program that our sister did yesterday was just phenomenal. And it was entitled Gangster Preachers 2017, Marcus and Joni Lamb, Steve Muncy, and Paula White. It was recorded on Saturday at 1 p.m., so I would encourage you, if you don't know of my sister's program, or if you listen but you haven't listened as of late, you got to listen to this program. This one entitled "Gangster Preachers 2017: Marcus and Joni Lamb, Steve Muncy, Paula White," and like I said, it was recorded yesterday, March the 11th. She has some outstanding audio clips of how these so-called preachers of the gospel are fleecing God's people for exorbitant amount of money. I mean, you talk about $70,000 offerings at one time taken from one person, $50,000 offering taken one time from one person, asking 20 people in the audience to give $10,000. The audio clips are just fabulous. They're just fabulous. And, it goes with this book that Sister Susan wrote. And you'll find this book on Amazon and you'll find it on Lulu. And the book is entitled Seed Faith. Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. The program and the book go together. I would encourage you to get the book, and I would encourage you to religiously, faithfully listen to the broadcast, because she does what we do here. She cries aloud and spares not, and she's been doing it longer than we have, far longer. She's a veteran at this, and we love her in Christ Jesus. We appreciate her, and, It behooves us to listen to ministries like this, and whenever they make books available and materials available, it behooves us to take advantage of them, because, you know, there are a gazillion books out there on how to fleece the sheep, all kinds of books on wealth transfer and, you know, decree and declare and generational curses, and I mean, there's all kinds of hokey pokey books. Books that do absolutely nothing for the sheep, nothing for the lambs. But this book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. I mean, if you want to see a group of people being hypnotized and manipulated, just listen to her program. Just listen to Gangster Preachers 2017. She's got the audio clip. She's got the evidence of how people like Joni and Marcus Lamb and Steve Muncy and Paula White and their sidekicks actually fleece people for big dollars. You wouldn't believe it if I told you unless we provided you with the audio clips. Well, she did. Sister Susan did a fantastic job. I recommend this program and her book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? By Susan Marie Puzio. My second announcement is that yesterday we did a program here, in case you didn't tune in. We did a program called The Prophets of the Seven Mountain Dominion Heresy. And here on Reformation News, we are so blessed to have with us every Friday an outstanding researcher, a sister in Christ, a person who loves the Lord, loves the church. And this sister in Christ does fabulous research. She digs up this audio. And so we've been doing this series, which yesterday was a part three. We've been doing a series on the Seven Mountain Dominion heresy that's out there, where they're telling you that the church has to conquer seven mountains, the mountain of media, the mountain of government, the mountain of religion, blah, 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 blah. It's all baloney. It's pure baloney. So yesterday we did the prophets of the Seven Mountain Dominion movement, and we showed that all of these prophets were false prophets. They were all false prophets. Not one of them is a legitimate prophet. They're all false. So if you didn't tune in to the broadcast yesterday, I want to encourage you to do so. A lot of work, saints, a lot of work, a lot of preparation, you know, a lot of research goes into doing these broadcasts, and we do them for you because I'm not going to get scammed by the Seven Mountain prophets. I'm not going to. Sister Marie certainly isn't getting scammed by these prophets, but perhaps you and your loved ones are targeted by these people, and maybe you might fall for their lies. Well, that's why we do these broadcasts, to warn you, to forewarn you, to arm you with truth, so that you don't fall for this baloney. So if you didn't tune in yesterday, I want to encourage you to do so, because, again, this is two hours of outstanding radio, if I may say so. And, yes, I will pat myself in the back, and I will pat Sister Marie in the back, because we put in hours, folks, hours, to give you the best, And let me tell you that next week we're doing a part four. And next week what we're going to do is we're going to show how all of these teachers and all of these preachers and all of these prophets and all of these shakers and movers of the so-called Seven Mountain Dominion teaching, we want to show them how not only are they false, not only are they false prophets, not only do they prophesy, and we showed yesterday how they prophesy and nothing comes to pass because they time date their prophecies, and then, you know, years pass, decades pass, and nothing actually happens that they prophesy. So they're false prophets. But we want to show you how these false prophets are connected to Rome, papal Rome, pagan Rome, the Roman Catholic Church is what I'm saying, because all of these heretical roads, all roads lead back to Rome. So next Friday, we're going to be doing the Seven Mountain Dominion Heresy Part 4, and we want to show you how everything goes back to Rome. All righty. Also remember, saints, that we here at Reformation News have put out two books, and you can't get them on paperback and you can't get them on hardcover. We don't have the means. We don't have, and when I mean the means, we don't have the financial means to put those books in paperback format and hardcover format. So you can order them on PDF, which means that you go to our website. Our website is paganbishops.com, paganbishops.com. And there you go to the site, to the section where we talk about the book. The first book is called Jackass Church Bishops, Jackass Church Bishops. And that is a 13-chapter book, close to 200 pages. It is a fabulous book. And we will give it to you, we will send it to you, we will email it to you in a PDF format. a format that will make it easy for you to read it on your laptop or for you to read it on your tablet, because that's the only format that we have right now. And for a donation of $15, we will send you Jackass Church Bishops, which underscores and highlights and exposes the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church, and you will be blown away. The second book that we're making available to you is Nehushtan Church Bishops. Same thing, PDF format. Again, it underscores how now these bishops that Rome is elevating in the black church, these bishops are being changed, transformed into idols or Nehushtans. It is a format, it is a way of conditioning the black church to receive the Antichrist. Because, listen, if you're able to worship your pastor, who's been elevated and put on a pedestal and made a bishop, but really more than a bishop, he's a Nehushtan or a false god. Now, if you are being conditioned to worship your pastor, who is a false god, because that's what Roman Catholicism does. It takes a mere man and turns him into a human idol. Now, if you are into that, then you are being slowly but surely conditioned so that when the Antichrist shows up and he sits in the temple of God and he claims to be God, since you are already worshiping your pastor, it's going to be an easy transition for you to worship the Antichrist. So you need to get your copies of Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops, each for a donation of $15. And folks, when you donate, you help keep this ministry on the air, because we are listener supported. And the way you support us is by ordering the books that we make available to you. You're going to be armed with the truth. Your eyes are going to be opened. Listen, I'm not asking you to just give us $15. We're giving you something in return. As you bless the ministry, we bless you and we empower you. This book on the Nehushtan Bishops is close to 300 pages, 16 chapters. It's three more chapters than Jackass Bishops. And I can tell you it is loaded with history, truth, sound doctrine. It's going to expose what's going on in the black church. And more importantly, if it's going on in the black church, it's coming to your church if you're not a member of an African-American church. Because a little leaven, the Bible says, a little leaven does what? It leavens the whole lump. Now, in addition to that, let me share with you, because perhaps you didn't tune in yesterday, that starting tomorrow, Monday, March 13th, we are putting out our own contemporary version of the 95 Theses. You know, Martin Luther's 95 Theses is fabulous. It's fabulous. But his 95 Theses addressed the abuses and the malpractices that were prevalent in the church in Martin Luther's day in 1517. Now, 500 years later, in 2017, we need to rewrite a new 95 Theses that will address contemporary malpractices and abuses in the church today. So starting tomorrow, and for the next 4 months, because it's going to take 4 months to put out one proposition each and every day. Now think about it, 95, right? I mean, it's 95 propositions, 95 abuses, malpractices, heresies, scams that we want to address. So we're going to address one per day. And these broadcasts aren't going to be long. We're going to present the proposition. We're going to present our protest. We're going to present our displeasure. And we're going to present it to this group called Joint College of African-American bishops. These are the guys who have allowed Rome to come into the church. These are the guys that have allowed Rome to hijack Christ's church. These are the guys who have allowed Rome to come in and make over the church and take Christ's church and turn it pagan. So we are addressing each one of these propositions, which in total will be 95, which will take us 4 months. If we're doing one per day, if we're taking one proposition per day, it's going to take us 4 months to present all of these 95 propositions. But listen, folks, where are we going? This is 2017. This marks the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. It marks the 500th anniversary. So, listen, what are we going to be talking about? The Reformation, reforming the church. The church is corrupt. The church is perverted. The church is twisted. The church is really unrecognizable. So we're going to present 95 propositions. We're presenting them to the Joint College of African American Bishops. These are the guys responsible for your church and my church looking like Rome, sounding like Rome, governing like Rome, and we won't have it. So that starts tomorrow. And this is going to be fantastic because, again, I'm going to be voicing your outrage, your discontent. I'm going to be your voice, and I'm going to go on the air. And the beauty about these broadcasts is that they don't have to be long because we'll present the argument, we'll challenge these members of this bogus and heretical Joint College of Bishops to challenge what we say, because they're not going to be able to put up. They don't have a leg to stand on when we present each and every one of these propositions. They won't have a leg to stand on. I can tell you because we're standing on Scripture. We're standing solely on the Word of God, and they're standing on the traditions of men, doctrines of demons. One leg, which they're standing on, is the tradition of men, and the other one is doctrine of demons. We're standing solely on the Word of God. So when you are armed with the Word of God, you never lose a debate, ever. So that starts tomorrow, and you pray for that because, folks, listen, we need to challenge these fakes. They're fake bishops. That's what they are. They're fake bishops. They're not bishops of Christ, I can tell you that much. They are deceived if they think that they represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, let me share with you that we have revived the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast. We revived it. We revived the broadcast. Now, it is a two-hour-a-day broadcast. I call it 2 hours of church every single day, 2 hours of church. And the purpose of the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast is to feed God's people. There is a famine of the word. If you went to church today, it is most likely that what your pastor gave you today in many instances was Kool-Aid, potato chips, cheese doodles. He maybe gave you a yodel, a ring ding. You know, basically what I'm saying is today you were fed junk food. If he didn't give you Kool-Aid, he gave you soda, junk food. Well, that's not a diet by which you can grow by. And so every day, on the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast, every day, we give you 2 hours of church, 2 hours of tabernacling with God and His Word. For the first 30 minutes, because we have broken up the program into four 30-minute segments, for the first 30 minutes, we talk to you about God. It's about God. All we want to do for the first 30 minutes is pull up a scripture and break down that scripture and talk to you about God. Now, I can tell you that the reason why people are getting scammed today, the reason why people are being taken to the cleaners, the reason why people are being deceived and people run up to give $70,000 offerings and write out checks for $50,000 offerings, the reason why they're doing that is because they don't know God. Because if you know God, if you know God, your Heavenly Father, you would know that everything is free. You don't have to sow a seed to God to get a breakthrough, to get healed, to get a promotion on the job, to have your child delivered from drugs. You don't need to do any of that. Jesus simply said, ask the Father and you shall receive. He never said so to the Father. He said, ask the Father, you shall receive. Seek the Father and you shall find the Father in the time of emergency. And knock on the Father's door and the Father will open it unto you. In other words, all you have to do to solve your problems is to turn to God, and He doesn't charge. So we give you 30 minutes of God because we need to reintroduce the body of Christ to God. Because the body, when it comes to God, the body of Christ, I'm convinced, is clueless. Because men and women get behind the pulpit and they said, and God told me, and God said this, and God told me to tell you to do. And that cannot possibly be God, because God never speaks that way in the Bible. God never speaks in those carnal manners, ever. So we are reintroducing you to God. Then we give you 30 minutes on prayer. Again, people are getting fleeced. People are getting hoodwinked. People are getting robbed. People are getting, you know, they're undergoing muggings and stick-ups in the church because they don't realize that God says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find what? What may you find? Mercy and help in the time of, come boldly, come running, if you will, to the throne of grace. What is the throne of grace? The throne where everything you need has been freely purchased by Christ. It's theirs, it's yours, it's there for the taking. All you have to do is go to the throne of grace. Go to the throne where everything is free because Christ paid for it on the cross. Now you're paying for stuff, that Jesus already paid for. You're trying to buy a deliverance, you're trying to buy a healing, you're trying to buy a miracle, you're trying to buy a breakthrough, you're trying to buy a wealth transfer, you're trying to buy all these things when they're yours for free. All you have to do is ask for them. Ask. But since people don't know what prayer is, and you see, what happened? What happened in the church? Well, fleecings increased in the church. There's a correlation. Look, folks, there's a direct correlation between the increase in stick-ups and muggings in the church and fleecings in the church with the elimination of prayer. Notice, they killed the prayer service. The prayer service has gone the way of the dinosaur. The prayer service in many churches does not exist. As a result of killing off the prayer service, the muggings and the fleecings have been on the rise. Jesus said, and he put it so beautifully, our Lord said, you have taken my Father's house, which was ordained and established as a house of prayer, where people can go in, talk to God, and get stuff for free. You've turned my Father's house, which is supposed to be, designed to be, a house of prayer, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. A den where muggings take place and stick-ups take place and all kinds of abuses, economic abuses, financial abuses, prevail. And so with this Daily Manna from radio broadcast, we give you 30 minutes of prayer. Then we give you 30 minutes of the church because so many people are confused. What is the church? Well, we lay it out for you. What is the church? Most people don't know what the church is. They don't know. So we gave you 30 minutes of God, 30 minutes of prayer, 30 minutes of the church, and 30 minutes on leadership. And why 30 minutes of leadership? Well, because we're hoping that by means of these broadcasts that go on every day, Monday through Friday, we're going to be able to raise up unto God leadership so that when God starts calling some of you out of the perversion that you go to call church, some of you are already out. Some of you are already sitting at home. Some of you are so disgusted that you haven't been to church in years. Well, if God leads you to start a house church, if God leads you to start a house fellowship, well, we want to give you enough leadership training that you can step out in faith and do what God is calling you to do, if that is, in fact, what God is calling you to do. If you're a leader in the church and God still has you there, then we pray that these leadership trainings, this leadership teaching, and this understanding, this teaching on what the church is, would cause you to be a reformer in your church, and perhaps God has you there so you can straighten out the mess that is your church. So some of you that have left, perhaps God wants you to start a house church. And for those of you who are still in your church, dealing with mess, dealing with a new stand bishop, dealing with a jackass bishop, perhaps God will use you to bring your jackass bishop to his senses or her senses, because these bishops are male and female. And perhaps God will use you, like he did Hezekiah, to straighten out that local assembly that's in turmoil. So you get 30 minutes of God, 30 minutes of prayer, 30 minutes of the doctrine of the church, and 30 minutes of church leadership. And all of these studies on a daily basis come with a series of outlines. You get, if you so desire, you can email me at manna4today14@gmail.com, manna4today14@gmail.com, and say, Radio Shepherd, Brother Moses, I would like to be on the outline list for the Daily Manna. And what will happen is early Monday morning, you will get an email. And in that email, when you open it up, there'll be an attachment, and you will have outlines for the entire week. You will have outlines for 7 days, because Daily Manna, the teaching, half-hour teaching of God, prayer, the church, and leadership, goes from Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday, we have leadership training for 2 hours. So we talk about 1 hour, we talk about leadership, and another hour we talk about the church, because we want to put this thing of house churches and the reformation of our church, we want to put this on the fast track. So that's why we're giving you, with our online school of ministry, we're giving you 2 extra hours on Saturday. We're giving you Daily Manna, but it's by means of an online school of ministry. We're giving you 2 extra hours, one on the church, one on leadership, because, again, we sense the urgency to develop for God leaders that will understand what the church is and how to function as a leader, so that if God leads people to start house churches, they would be properly trained. So that's Saturday, the online school of ministry. And then on Sunday, every single Sunday, I will be talking to you out of one chapter out of the book of Psalms. And that program is called The Inspirational Psalmist. And what I want to do is share with you from one portion of the Psalms to inspire you, to empower you, to get you to believe God for great things. So that's Monday through Sunday. 5 days a week, you get the Daily Manna. On Saturday, into School of Ministry. And on Sunday, you'll get the book of Psalms. That does the 7 days. All of this is, listen, all you have to do is tune in, and all you have to do is request the outlines. And that's easy. Send me an email. Send us an email. send us an email at loverevenanttabernacleradiochurch, and you will get the outlines for the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. Just go to mannafortoday14@gmail.com, mannafortoday14@gmail.com. And listen, for those of you listening from Norway, from Barbados, from Germany, from England, from Zambia, all you got to do is send an email. Because the people in the U.S. have already sent us the emails. They're already requesting the outlines. We need to hear from those who are tuning in from Norway and those who are tuning in from Germany. And listen, Daily Manna only works with the outlines. And they're wonderful outlines. So, these Daily Manna from Heaven broadcasts are designed for four kinds of people. The Monday through Sunday broadcasts are designed for four kinds of people. If you're a new convert, you need to be listening to Daily Manna from Heaven. If you're a mature saint, you need to be listening to Daily Manna from Heaven. If you're an aspiring minister, you need to listen to the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. And if you are a seasoned leader, new convert, mature saint, aspiring minister, and seasoned leader, if you fall into one of those four categories, Daily Manna from Heaven is for you. It's for you. And the outlines are yours just for the asking. Just for the asking. Saints, and you can listen to the Daily Manna from Heaven radio broadcast on Block Talk Radio. Just type in Daily Manna from Heaven, Block Talk Radio, and you'll see. You'll see us there. And we have over 400 broadcasts. We have over 400 broadcasts. It would be a shame. It would be a shame that you would not take advantage. And you know, some people listen to that Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. They have a 1 hour commute to work, so they put on the first hour. And when they're driving back home from work, they listen to the second hour. So you can have 2 hours of church every day, being fed filet mignon every single day. Every single day. You just have to do your part and tune in. Well, saints, today we are ending our teaching on the need of the hour. What is the need of the hour? The need of the hour is we need reformers like Hezekiah and like Martin Luther. That's what we need. We need reformers. We need people who are going to cry aloud and spare not. We need people to do what Sister Susan Puzio is doing, what I'm doing, what Sister Maria is doing. We need people who are going to decry the abuses and the malpractices and the muggings and the fleecings in the church. We need people who are just going to stand up, hold their ground, lift their Bible up and say, "Thus saith the word of the Lord. You shouldn't be doing this, this, and this because this is contrary to the word of God." We need reformers. And what is a reformer? A reformer is a person. There's eight characteristics to a reformer. And it behooves me to mention them for the last time in this series. This is part nine. We've done eight of these already. This is part nine. And what is a reformer? What is it to reform? To reform something is to improve it by altering it. That's one. To improve something by altering it. Number two, to reform something is to correct error. Number three, to reform something is to remove its defects. Number four, to reform something is to put that thing into a better form or condition. Number five, to reform something is to abolish the abuse and malpractices in that something. Number six, to reform something is to put an end to a wrong or wrongs. Number seven, to reform something is to cause people or a person to give up harmful and immoral practices. And number eight, to reform something is to persuade that something to adopt a better way of life. And we have been looking at this biblical reformer and this church history reformer. We looked at Martin Luther, and we've been looking at Hezekiah. Martin Luther is the church history reformer that has been the subject of our study, and Hezekiah is the biblical reformer, that we've been looking at to get some ideas of what a reformer is. And we've been looking at 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 7. We looked at verses 1 through 7. Today we're going to end our series with verse number 8. Verse number 8 is the key text. It's the key text for today. So let's turn to our Bibles. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, we want to read verses 1 through 8, and we're going to end at verse 8 because verse 8 is the key text for today. Let us listen and now begin at the reading of God's Word.
2 Kings chapter 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city.
Our key text is, and he smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. Now, again, this is a fascinating character, biblical character. This is a fascinating man, a king of Judah, a man definitely after God's own heart. There is much that has already been said. As I already stated, this would be our ninth study. And, you know, nine studies means nine programs. A lot has been said on this man, Hezekiah. As we wrap it up, I want to combine verse 7 and verse number 8 because they are so profound. And it says in verse 7, and the Lord was with Hezekiah, and Hezekiah prospered wheresoever he went forth. As a result of prospering wheresoever he went forth, he, being Hezekiah, rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now, I will equate the king of Assyria to the Pope. The king of Assyria is and was a foreign power in the days of Hezekiah. Just like the Pope, who has his headquarters in Italy, in Rome, Italy, in the Vatican, if you will. Just like the Pope is a foreign power. When the founding fathers established this country, they established it with two goals in mind. They wanted to have no king because many of the empires of Europe were all run by a dictator, a despot, a monarch, a king. So when the colonies decided to break away from England, one of the things that they resolved was that they were to have no king, no dictator, no despot like the King of England. That was number one. No king. We don't want a king. We don't want a king. And number two, we don't want a pope. Because in Europe, coming out of the Middle Ages, coming out of the Dark Ages, the founding fathers saw what Rome could do. Rome could stifle intelligence. Rome could enslave a people, could enslave continents, can enslave countries. So they said, no king, no dictator, no despot, no one-man rule. We don't want to, we'll have a president, and we'll have a Senate, and we'll have a Congress, and we'll have a Supreme Court. We'll have the different branches of government that will all offset and balance one another, but we will not have a king, and we definitely don't want a pope. We don't want one religion dictating to our consciences and to our hearts what we're going to believe. So no king and no pope. So I would equate the king of Assyria to the pope. He's the pope. And the pope was king. You know, in the Middle Ages, there were kings, but in the Dark Ages, there were kings, but the pope was the king of kings. You didn't become king of England until the pope signed off on it. You didn't become the king of France or the king of Spain until the pope signed off on it. And if you acted up, if you acted stupid, the pope would block you from being king or queen. So the king of Assyria, I equate to the pope. And the Bible says that this reformer, this Hezekiah, he rebelled against the king of Assyria and would not serve him. You know what we have to say to Pope Francis and to any other pope after him? We will not serve you and we will rebel against you. We want nothing to do with you. But then in verse 8 it says, and he, speaking of Hezekiah, smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city. Now, who are the Philistines? Well, I would say that the Philistines are the American bishops. You see, the Philistines are pretty much like the Assyrians. They serve the same God. If you look at pictures, if you look at ancient reliefs, if you look at monuments of Assyria, in monuments of Philistia, you will see that their priests wore the same kind of funny little mitre, and they wore the same kind of outfit, which was a fish outfit with a fish mouth hat. That's what you call a mitre. And they wore this fish outfit and this fish kind of hat in honor of the god Dagon. Dagon, the fish god. The Philistines were called the sea people. The sea, when you look at archaeology and you Google sea people, it'll take you back to the Philistines. So the Philistines are the agents of Assyria, technically speaking. The Philistines are the domestic Assyrians, if you will. The Philistines were not foreigners. They were in the land of Canaan when Israel lived in the land of Canaan. This is why you have David fighting the Philistines, Saul fighting the Philistines. The Philistines were everywhere when the children of Israel were in the land of Canaan. They were their neighbors. They were a domestic terror, whereas the king of Assyria was an international terror, if you will. Well, the Philistines are operating. They're operating under the orders of Assyria. They're operating. So now, but they're here already. See, the Philistines, it's like saying, you know, the Pope has agents in America. The Pope has agents. Well, who are his agents? Well, they're the cardinals and the bishops. And these cardinals and bishops now want to enter into our churches. They want to take over. In fact, they've already made encroachments. They've already made advances. And so what did Hezekiah do? He kicked them out of the church. He kicked the Philistines out of the territories. He kicked them out of the boundaries of Judah. He sent them back to where they came from. He sent them back to Gaza. He sent them back to their borders. Because they had crossed the fence. They had made inroads. You see, not only must we tell the Pope no, not only must we tell the Pope no way, not only must we tell the Pope, we must tell the Pope, we will not serve you. We're not going to be Catholic. We're not going to come under your ecumenical tent. Not only must we say that to the king of Assyria, but then we must say to the Philistines, out with you. out with your clerical collars, out with your skull caps, out with your cassocks, out with your highfalutin episcopacy. Get out of here. Get out. And Hezekiah kicked them out. He drove them back. Get back on your side. You have no place in the church. You have no place in the church. Get out. Beat it. And we need to kick these jackass bishops out of the church. We need to kick these Nehushtan bishops out of the church. If they want to look Catholic and sound Catholic and talk Catholic, send them back to the Catholic church where they belong to. They cannot be part of the Protestant church. Kick them out. Kick these Philistines out. Send them back to the gates of hell where they came from. We don't want them in our churches. We don't want to see their purple outfits. We don't want to see their fish head mitres. We don't want to see the priest of Dagon in the house of the Lord. Kick them out. Kick these Philistines out. Kick the sea people back out. We don't worship Dagon. We worship the Lord our God. So, saints, as you can see, this Hezekiah was a reformer we should emulate. And we're going to leave it there with Hezekiah. Weren't you blessed? Weren't you blessed with this 9-part study? I'm telling you, the Lord is awesome. His word is awesome. Now, I want to play this clip for you. And it's by the great. I call him the great. He would never call himself great. But I call him the great man of God. The great man of God. Leonard Ravenhill. The author of the classic, Why Revival Tarries. If you don't have a copy, of Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revival Tarries, your library is not complete. It's not complete. If you don't have a copy of Leonard Ravenhill's Why Revival Tarries, well, I have a 10-minute audio clip here, a 10-minute audio clip on the spirit of a prophet. The spirit of the prophet. Now, yesterday we had a broadcast. The broadcast was called The Prophets of the Seven Mountain Dominion Movement. Well, those prophets of the Seven Mountain Dominion Movement are not the kind of prophets God sends. In fact, if you want to know the spirit of a prophet / reformer, because that's what a prophet is a protester. A prophet is a reformer. And I thought it would be fitting for us to end this series playing this 10-minute clip of Leonard Ravenhill's Spirit of a Prophet. What does a prophet look like? What does a reformer look like? What does a protester look like? Well, here's Leonard Ravenhill, and I pray your patience, because this is going to bless you. This is going to bless you. Listen to this clip, The Spirit of a Prophet.
To the strange breed of men. They are God's emergency men for crisis hours. And the price of being a prophet is that a man has to live alone. All God's great men have been very, very lonely men. I've said very often that when I turn over the pages of the Bible, that one of the most challenging pages is the white page that divides the Testaments. It's a white page, but it covers a period of 400 years of total darkness. 400 years of darkness without any light. 400 years of silence without any prophetic voice. If I were to say to you tonight, I'll give you paper and pencil and you can write and give me, from your knowledge of the Word of God, who is the greatest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ, I guess you might come up with Moses, or you might come up with Paul, and you'd be wrong, because the greatest character reader of all time was Jesus himself, and he said that the greatest man that was ever born of woman was John Baptist. A man who spent some 20 years there in the fastness of the desert. A lonely man, a strange man. And the great need in America tonight, I'm convinced of this, as good as Bible schools are with their assembly lines and producing their preachers, the greatest need in America tonight is prophets. And as dear Tozer used to say, if you're going to be a prophet, brother, you better settle. Or it was Dr. Parker who originally said, if you're going to be a prophet, you'll have to preach repentance, and before you start, dedicate your head to heaven, because you won't last much more than 6 months, maybe. John the Baptist himself didn't. He went into the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Oh, I'd love to have heard John Baptist preach, wouldn't you? I'd like to have seen this man when God said, John, you've been here 20 years now, you better go out and preach. I told you this morning it takes God 20 years to make a man. It took him 20 years to make John Baptist, and then he preached for 6 months. You boys went to Bible school for 6 months and been preaching 20 years, no wonder you're dry. You better go back. Go back to the wilderness. Go back to the desert. Get into the loneliness. There's nothing on God's earth like silence. Just take your Bible, forget everything and everybody, and shut yourself away till that you have a new revelation from God himself. But John wore those strange garments. He was strange. By the fact he wore only a little girdle around his loins. That was his strange dress. He was no gourmet. He didn't go through the long menu and say, well, I don't know, my jaded appetite, there's nothing. You sure you don't have shrimp with a special dressing or something? He just caught the flies as they were going past. The locusts. Pull the wings off and put them on a hot rock. He had locust burgers every day. Breakfast, dinner, and supper. A lot of people want Jesus to come today because they're scared sick of suffering. That's why. After all, the church has been getting lashed and tormented and stripped and prostituted. 400 years and God never moved. 400 years of ritual and formality of sacrifice and all the ritualism that they went through, but somehow it was a form of godliness. And God decided to upset the apple cart, if you like. What did he do? Send a legion of angels? No. He took a little man out of the womb of his mother. He separated this man and he educated him in the spirit and sent him into the wilderness. And he came out and he had no forward man and he asked for no program. And he wasn't seeking prestige and he didn't beg for anybody's power. And he didn't find some secret way of promotion. If you'd walk down the desert there, you could hardly tell a man the color of his skin was. He was sunburned on the inside and fire baptized on the inside, and fire baptized with the sun on the outside. And you could almost see the way he'd gone because his tears were rising like steam off the ground. They've broken my laws. You see, we think if we're really blessed and successful evangelists, you get a bigger home, a bigger car, more prestige, and brother, you feel good because now you can buy $150 suits, whereas you wore $30 suits not too long ago. Yeah. But brother, if you walk up with God, I'll tell you what you do. Your heart's more broken now than it was when you started 10 years ago. You see the nation going downhill more rapidly than she's ever gone before. Prostitution is increasing, crime is increasing, immorality is increasing, lawlessness is increasing. And in the richest, most comfortable country in the whole world, we stink in the nostrils of Almighty God tonight, and England is equally true. It's equally true of England as well. Ah, the prophets were men who walked with God. They felt like God. They saw like God. They wept like God. They yearned like God. They had no satisfaction in seeing the beauty of the temple, the ritual, the formality, all the things that they went through. No. God has gone from them. We keep up the formality. The money is coming in. People are nice. One or two come to the altar. But oh, what a difference when a man gets a heart that craves for revival, that longs. Father, make that is all, that all nations are out to acknowledge. When John Baptist came, he came with no lip that was buttoned. He had nobody to please. He had no program. He had no priorities that he was trying to push ahead. He never raised a dead man. No, he didn't raise a dead man. He raised a dead nation. And he did it without the miraculous in the realm of the flesh. He did it in the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, when John came, I think he was a success on any level. I think John had already had his program from God, and the Lord said, you better get busy, boy, because you're not going to be around here very long. No, sir, they'll chop your head off if you start preaching this. Boy, we do have a few men that are prepared to lose their heads for Jesus right now. I say again, most of you men know to preach better than you do know, than you do preach, but you won't do it because you'll get kicked out of the synagogue, that's why. You really have to trust God, and that'll be trouble, won't it? And you've been paying in the minister's pension fund. Oh, brother, wouldn't that be awful if you have to sacrifice that for Jesus? You say, I'll lay everything on the altar except my golf clubs and my minister's pension fund and my big TV and if anything else you can have, Lord, but don't intrude just too much on me, kind of thing. Oh, I like to think of John Baptist standing there, no sponsors, nobody to agree or disagree with him. He stood there, and they came to see this strange man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And I tell you this, if a man is anointed by the Holy Ghost, he'll seek it. We have blinded our eyes to truth, and we have put our fingers in our ears to the voice of God. And the judgments that are going to fall if we don't get revival, and maybe it is not an alternative of Christ or chaos, but Christ and chaos. Not revival or revolution, but revival and revolution. Not revival without concentration camps. Maybe the only place you'll get it is in concentration camps. Oh, brother, we're heading for trouble, I'll tell you. Ah, the prophets were men who walked with God. They felt like God, they saw like God, they wept like God, they yearned like God.
Amen. That was Leonard Ravenhill, the spirit of a prophet, and I would add to that the spirit of a reformer, the spirit of a protester. I want to conclude today's broadcast with the hymn, with the hymn, with the hymn. You are my hiding place. It's based on Psalm 32, verse 7, which reads, speaking of God, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are my hiding place. And if you're going to do protesting, if you're going to be a reformer, if you're going to open up your mouth big and wide and decry the abuses and the malpractices in the church, you had better make sure that the Lord is your hiding place. God bless you, and we'll be back tomorrow.